The world has a lot to say. It can be hard to cut through the noise and find great audio when you want it. Clamor makes great audio accessible by organizing everything into 18-second highlights. Clamor gives you a personalized power feed of the best information and entertainment in audio. If you discover something that you love, tap to expand the Clamor into full-length music and podcasts. Best of all, you can share Clamors with friends. You can even make your own Clamors, record from scratch, import, or remix other people's Clamors. Clamor brings you the world's best audio, one bite at a time.
Welcome to chilllovelradio.net. Today's show is sponsored by PromoDJ.com, AudioBoom.com, Clamor.com, SBSDesigns.com, Athukar Digital Distribution, Media Services NYC, Open Bar Music, Republic Music NYC.com, VintageSoulSupply.com, DiamondFuse.com, and ManhattanScreenPrint.com. Enjoy the show.
Warning, the broadcast you're about to listen to
is a politically incorrect area. All PC personnel entering these premises will encounter gravely offensive behavior and opinions. Rampant insensitivity has been authorized.
Hey guys, thank you guys for tuning in to the Open Bottle Talk. My name is Key.
I'm Frank.
And today we are going to get down with the get down. And today, not only are we going to enjoy ourselves with some wonderful beers that were picked for us, but one's a brewery that we visited last week, and one's a classic trying to hang with the big dogs. And so there's going to be some mixed feelings about today's episode. But before we get into that, Frank, since I haven't seen you in a week, what's been going on? How's the family?
Family's doing well. We're back to school, so our spring break was last week, and back to school on Monday. It's been a rough week teaching first graders, but we're getting through.
Nice. Now, you know, as a teacher, I always wanted to ask, is there a favorite?
A favorite student? Sure.
Okay. And is there, on the opposite end, is there a student you're like?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if in a perfect world, what would you like to do with the good student?
I would like to be able to spend more time with that student, giving them probably higher level work.
Nice. Like 2 + 2... equals fish.
Something like that.
Fair enough. And what about, in a perfect world, the bad student?
Probably run over them with my car.
Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't condone that. We're just kidding. It's all jokes here. I hope that you guys understand that it is an offensive beer review show. So no, actually, Frank is not a teacher. He's not allowed to be near any children after what happened with the ice cream clown incident in Wisconsin of 03. So other than that, let me ask you a question, all jokes aside. How do you feel about the new math?
The new math is hard. It's real hard. It's not how I learned it.
No, I learned it by some rocks and subtracting villagers before the giant came, and it's crazy.
That's what happens when you're old.
Right? All right, so let's get down to business. All right, guys, so we've got 5 random beers that me and Frank are going to do, and lucky for you guys, we did not pick these. As you guys know, Kelly is not going to be on today's show. She's actually taking care of some business, and I can't wait for her to come back because we are going to drill her and find out what was more important than hanging out on the Open Bottle Talk. So here we go. What are the 5 beers that we are partaking, thanks to Kelly?
We will be sampling Full Sail Amber, a ridiculously tasty original amber ale.
Ooh.
We will be sampling Hoptober Golden Ale from New Belgium.
Okay.
Samuel Adams Noble Pils.
Hmm.
Budweiser Black Crown.
I'm sorry, you said that awfully quick.
Budweiser Black Crown. Budweiser Black Crown. I've actually never had it before.
Neither have I.
So we'll give that a shot. And Ace's Perry Hard Cider.
Now, I understand that you have issues, or you're still developing your palate with ciders. And I know last week's Ace was a little hard to work with. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is, we don't let one item influence the next.
That's true.
Because you never know. What if that was a bad batch? What if they didn't care, and then they put their heart, blood, sweat, and tears in the next one. So we always open bottle, open palate. So, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. We'll be right back. We're going to set up for the first. Oh, wait, before we set up. All right, which one do you want to do first?
We're doing the cider first.
All right, we're going to do the cider, folks. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're all ready with the first item of the show. And Frank, take it away.
We are going to be drinking Ace Perry Hart Cider. It's 5% alcohol. It's made by Ace Cider. And if you'd like to look them up, it's www.acecider.com.
Where are these guys from?
Sebastopol, California.
Nice. And also, just to let you guys know, hands down, majority of all ciders are gluten-free. So if you have celiac disease or anything else that ails you that you can't have gluten, whether you're watching your weight and things like that, ciders are naturally without gluten. So we're going to go ahead and open this up. Oh, they're also in the Sonoma County area.
Ah, nice. All so right. Before we drink this, I was a little rough on Ace's apple cider there. It was a Golden Delicious apple, I think we had last week.
No, the Honey Golden.
Honey Golden, yeah.
Yeah, you sounded a little racist when you did that, too.
Well, I was a little rough on it, and that's not fair because, like he said, you know, it could have been just a abnormality in the batch, and as a home brewer, I don't want anybody to shit on my stuff.
Wait till we put it on the show. So don't worry about it. Your time will come. We'll probably have Ace come up and check your shit.
That'll be all right. I deserve it after that. But I'm willing to give this a shot.
Fair enough, because just to let you know, there are other Aces in the fridge.
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead and cheers to the aesthetics. What you got? It looks like what?
Looks like champagne.
Yeah, actually does. I've had plenty of Perry's out there. For those that don't know what Perry is, it is another term. In the world of cider, it is pear. So it has a nice pear color to it. Looks like apple juice, sparkling cider, anything you think would be Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Little bit of, it's even got a little Moscato color to it. It just looks clean, refreshing. This one just looks inviting for cider.
Yeah, the carbonation is interesting because it is... Really, it looks like it's carbonated like a champagne, where regular beer, you see almost a constant flow of those bubbles that are indicating the
carbonation. Right, steady movement. It's moving somewhat, then it's like, oh, you know, it's union break, yeah. And then we're going to continue. All right, guys, we're going to get down to the smell. Cheers to that. This is a lot better than the other one. This actually smells like sweet... almost cocktail, the fruit cocktail that you got in as you were a kid in your lunch pail.
Yeah.
That cocktail syrup. Not an artificial, I would say, but it's a very sweetened pear smell.
Oh, it's definitely pear, yeah.
Yeah. It, you know what? I'm also getting green Jolly Rancher.
Hopefully they're not putting that in there, but...
I mean, whatever apples that they're using to press this with, you can definitely, the apples are coming in. But then there's that back finish of that pear.
Yeah, pear and sour apple, yeah.
Man, this is, I mean, these guys haven't even been around that long, 1993. So I figured, you know, if they're messing up now, you know, they've got time. Yeah. They got time. They only got a couple of years under their belt.
Right.
And guys, if you guys don't understand, that's from the new math. If you guys got children out there right now and that new math is confusing, that's why we can't really figure it out from 1993 to now, where we all have kids too. So, you know.
Just stick with the old math.
The abacus never fails.
That's true.
All right. So is there anything else that you can get off the fragrance here? I can also tell you, looking at the glass while we're doing this, there is some legs on here. And that's basically how it's sticking to the glass and falling down. It's kind of like if you take like Robitussin or cough syrup, and when you finish it, it's that film that sits on the plastic. Then it runs down. That's basically what legs are. And usually the longer the legs sit, the higher the alcohol is in the liquid. Doesn't mean if it's still low ABV, if it's still an unbalanced amount of alcohol in it, it will make it run. But you can see that, right?
I love nice legs. So.
Of course, yeah. Of course. But still doesn't, I don't understand why you married a paraplegic. But we'll just go ahead and digress that. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get down to the best part is that Frank is now going to consume this with me. Here we go, Frank. Let's see what you got, brother.
Hold me.
All right, Frank, you take it away on this one, brother.
Definitely better than the last one. And it could have been that honey apple was just a strange mix. Full of pear flavor. Front and back, which is interesting. You would think you would get most of it in the front, but I'm getting it in the back too. It's a little on the sour side.
Yeah, so, it's very tart, very tart.
Yeah.
Definitely, you're absolutely right with the all around pear flavoring. But it's for me, I'm getting the texture of it. It's a very chewy cider, which means it doesn't feel liquidy. It's not creamy, but it's got a little give to it when your teeth click. There's like a little bit of that substance, that sticky pushback. It tastes like I bit into a pear covered in syrup a little bit. To be honest, it's got like that syrup, that cornstarch syrup over it, or caramel syrup,
yeah,
right over the pear. It's kind of like what you would do like a caramel covered apple.
Right.
You put that syrup over it. You bite into it, and you've got that bite with it, that give, that thickness, and then it's just, it tastes super like natural.
Fresh pear as opposed to a canned pear.
Yeah, this is actually really impressive. Like I said, for me, Ace has always been hit or miss, and there's been a couple of them I thought were just outstanding, and this one is definitely another one that I can definitely add to that. So, I mean, it's pear all day with this. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. What do you think of the advertisement on it?
I like how Ace is advertising. I like the card. So for the folks at home who are not seeing it, it's the label is actually a playing card, and obviously it's an ace for Ace. And the fruit, in this case the pear, is actually taking the place of one of the suits of the deck, so it is kind of neat. It's an appealing bottle.
Nice. All right, here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see how Frank is going to handle this. Frank, what's your score for this and why?
Again, I'm not well versed in cider, but this isn't bad. It's not bad. I would give it, we'll go 3.
Okay. For me, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very well put together cider. Whether it's, let's say at some point down the line we learn that it's an artificial flavoring they're putting in it. And if it is, it's well masked. Overall, from the front to the mouth to the back of the mouth, you're getting pear. It's got wonderful tart biteness to it. It's a chewy cider, which is a little bit thicker than most ciders that you would probably experience in your life. The ABV is just right. The label is aesthetically kick-ass. I think overall, aesthetically, also, you know what, the hang time is wonderful. Actually, the tart,
I'm still drinking it too.
That's what I really enjoy, the fact that you're actually really consuming this. The hang time actually changes the texture, I'm sorry, I would say the flavor profile. It goes from tart, and the longer it sits, it becomes sweet. And which is, that's got to be a really cool factor for me. So I'm going to go ahead and rate this. I'm actually going to go with a 4-4 cider.
Wow.
I'm gonna go with that for Aces, and now here's a question.
Yeah.
Is this a cider? Now that you're kind of getting, you have no choice. Now you're on the show.
Right.
Would this be something that you would share with somebody and persuade them to try?
I probably would do that. My wife likes cider, so she might actually like this. And if I saw it out somewhere, let's say I was at a bar, and I was with friends that I knew dabbled in cider as opposed to me dabbling in beer, I would encourage them to try it, especially I think if it was on draft.
Oh yes,
ice cold it would be.
Oh yeah, this would probably be more impressive. Yeah. If it was ice cold. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys are, this is your first time tuning in, all of the items that we sample on the show are room temperature, so that way we can get the nuances, the aromatics, and the full scope of whatever item that we're sampling. Because if it's ice cold, then most of the senses are dumb, or or we can't really reach its full potential. So we're actually drinking this is probably sitting at a nice, we're probably looking at maybe 75 degrees on these, which is slightly warm for most people, but that's just the best way that we can break these down. So what we do is we remove them out of the cooling area. We have a couple of coolers here on the set. Then we basically let them sit. They sit out in the room for about 2 hours before we record them or film them. And then basically it's a great formula for experiencing the beer. If you guys want to experience something like that, all you have to do is go ahead and open up the item, pour it in a glass, let it sit for about 40 minutes. So if you're just getting home, then you just bought yourself a wonderful Ace right here, an Ace Perry Cider. Go ahead and pour it in a glass. Let it sit for 40 minutes, so right when you get in, go ahead and take your shower, do whatever you do, beat your dogs, beat your kids, it doesn't really matter. Then come on back to a hard cider here, and it's you're going to be impressed instead of it being super cold if you want to experience the things that we're talking about.
You think about it also, when people are drinking wine, they do kind of the same thing. If they're really into wine, they'll have, you know, a wine fridge. So it's keeping it at somewhat of a cool temperature, and then they take it out and they decant it. So they're letting it sit for a little bit, and it is warming up. So that's what we're doing, the same thing
with. Yeah, the same thing with wine. Yep, there it is. So we are decanting it, ladies and gentlemen. Get your decanting on. If you guys don't know what decanting is, please, by all means, if you have an Apple product, go ahead and ask Siri. I'm sure that bitch knows everything. And if you want, and you're a person who doesn't want to talk to her for any personal reason, you have an Android, go ahead and check with your Google Chrome. I'm sure your phone or your tablet or your desktop will help you figure out what decanting is. We would love to talk about that, but it's all about the beer and the cider. So we're going to go ahead and reset for the next beer. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to Open Bottle Talk. My name is Key.
I'm Frank.
And right now, we just got done doing a pretty interesting item here, which would be the cider. So right now, we're going to go ahead and, Frank, go ahead and pick. What's our next one?
We are going for Budweiser's Black Crown.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't stutter. It is Budweiser's Black Crown. And here's a little interesting fact. Black Crown came out right when craft beer started to blow back up, when people were getting into, you know, Shock Top and New Belgium and Guinness. I mean, when it was really taking off in those places. And I understand, like, Batch 21, and I know Shock Top are actually Batch 21, I believe, is by Miller Coors. And then Shock Top's by Anheuser-Busch, or is it Samuel Adams? One of the two. But they're, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Anheuser-Busch, which is actually now the big one. And we'll get into that on another day. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to title it Why InBev Burns the Inside of My Ass. And that's going to be a really great hour episode, because we really don't need any beer for that. So right now, this is just one of those, I would say that this beer, the way it looks, the way it says, it's keeping classic people who are afraid of change to kind of move up a little bit. It's kind of like Marlboro One. It's kind of like Marlboro cigarettes, and then they come out with the ultralights.
Yeah.
So, I mean, go ahead. You go ahead and finish reading. What, anything else that's on that?
It's a 6% ABV, obviously out of St. Louis.
Yeah.
You
can hear the excitement.
Blah, 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 blah. We know what it is. It's a monster brewer. But we gotta do it.
We do. And for those that don't understand the kind of the discuss with Anheuser-Busch, look, there have been some phenomenal beers Anheuser-Busch have made, and there's only two reasons why they made it. One, they couldn't buy somebody out, so they mimicked them, or they bought someone out and now they own that popularity.
Yeah.
So one of my issues with Anheuser-Busch, unfortunately, is how they go about what they're doing and how they trick the public in their advertisement, instead of just being straightforward and say, okay, Anheuser-Busch, Shock Top, you know, like, you know, didn't have
to. Yeah, they're hiding it.
Yeah, and people are like, oh man, Shock Top's the best, but I don't like Budweiser. But you're buying the same into the same company. So we're kind of lagging here, because we really, all right, let's just do this. All right, Golden Amber Lager. Holy shit. All right. Yay, you first. It even looks like Budweiser. I understand it is, but oh man.
Well, it look, you know, the bottle makes it look like it's a little bit different. It's definitely higher ABV.
Yeah, absolutely. versus their around 5%.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think it's a little bit darker.
It is a little bit darker.
The head's holding up. There is an abundance of erratic movement from the bubbles. At least from mine. I don't know about yours.
Yeah.
Okay, now the head's dissipated. Again, it just looks like Budweiser with a tan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and just suck this one up. All right, let's smell it. I'm not cheersing you. I'm just smelling it. Okay, I can tell you a really cool thing. It doesn't smell like a Budweiser.
To me, it does.
I'm not getting that. I'm getting more malt. I'm definitely getting malt.
Well, yeah, that's why it's going to be heavier.
But it doesn't, to be honest, it doesn't smell like a regular, the fragrance does not remind me of everyday hardworking beer. You know, that lager smell?
Yeah.
I'm not getting it, which is kind of scary. Like, here's the downfall, ladies and gentlemen. What if this is actually really good? Since we've never done this.
That's true.
You know, even though we may talk shit, ladies and gentlemen, about people and their beers, the only reason why we get to talk shit about certain beers is because we acquired it. We weren't given these beers. So we get to do what we want if we pay for it or someone gives it to us that we personally know. But we're not going to bite the hand that feeds us. Absolutely. That's just stupid. So anything else distinctive from that smell?
No, not really. I mean, it smells like beer. And it looks like beer.
Let's find out if it...
Well, you know what? I think most of us have, at one time or another, had more than a few Budweisers.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah. It doesn't smell like a Budweiser to me. It doesn't come off that... It does smell like a lager, but it has more of a metallic sting to it. So I would still place it as an amber to the nose. Mm. But it doesn't remind me. If I got this, I would think this was something else.
Yeah, I wouldn't get it, but... You're more than welcome to go out and support Anheuser-Busch, but I'm...
Hey, if you're buying that. Most of their other products that no one knows, like Wild Blue...
True.
There's actually Goose Island now.
Yep.
Kona. Ladies and gentlemen, there's tons of them. Trust me.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right now, because of the big takeover, InBev... who originally owns Anheuser-Busch, just merged with MillerCoors, and now they own over 400 different labels and 30% of the craft beer game and growing. They're really, really pushing hard to monopolize. All right, guys, I know what you guys are saying. Drink it already, you pussies! All right.
Shall we cheers?
Yeah, this one's...
It tastes like Budweiser.
Yeah... Unfortunately, guys, we're going to be honest. Tastes like a Budweiser. There's an astringent burn to it. So you can definitely feel that there's more alcohol to it.
It's Budweiser on steroids.
Pretty much. And unfortunately, because we let it get room temperature, lagers, in a sense, it tastes like I found it in the car.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. High school.
After a real long trip.
Yeah. I personally would rather put a bunch of puppies in a bag and beat the puppies with a rubber Nerf stick in front of a cop than do another sip.
You know, it's tough because we do harbor personal feelings against Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
Just from the way they conduct their business. But they don't put out a quality product.
We have found.
No, and they can hashtag won't back down, don't back down, whatever.
Actually, you know what? That reminds me.
Can do it till all these glasses are empty. But their beer still is, it's inferior. It really is.
I've seen this, and I want you to read. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is an advertisement that I just pulled recently from a corner store, and it is a Budweiser's legit advertisement. I'm going to let Frank read it.
This is not a hobby. Brewed the hard way since 1876. Budweiser is
now,
Bud's for you.
Now, think about that, guys. This is not a hobby, right? So, Frank's a home brewer. How do you feel?
Yeah, it's a direct shot at the craft beer market because most craft beer brewers graduated from, and honestly, they graduated from doing it as a hobby.
Right, and here's where the hypocrisy comes in. Why would you put that out and yet you market craft beers or buy craft beer breweries, such as Goose Island. Now, mind you, they just bought Goose Island, right? And Goose Island's never had an issue. Last year's Bourbon County, two recalls under the Anheuser-Busch name. Matter of fact, who else? Golden Road in L.A. Just got bought out by these guys, and people were furious.
It's hard to say no to the money.
But then again, a lot of people have turned them down.
Yeah, a lot of people have. But again, if you're a middling brewery and you're not, you know, kicking ass like, you know, folks like Stone and Russian River.
But they started off with small middling as well.
Yeah.
I mean, their constitution was weak. Now, if you guys follow the show, whether you watch us on YouTube or head over to obsbeers.com, there's always something that I always like to do, and that's always give homage, no matter what it is. We can shit on things all day. But sometimes, at the same time, you still got to give credit where credit's due. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that I could say about these guys, whether you like their beers or not, or trying to just explore, they have not changed their recipe in a long time. Now, mind you, the best part about craft breweries is it doesn't matter how many times you do the beer, it will always taste different every batch. These guys, their beer tastes the same as the day we drank it when we were kids to now. Do you know how impressive that is to make sure that your recipe matches each and every time you brew? And they fuel the world.
Yeah.
So, I have to hands down give it to them. They're some dirty bastards, but on the brew level and a person who just enjoys the way beer is made, I give it to Anheuser-Busch. Those guys, year after year, and how many times, gallons upon gallons of beers that they make, billions of barrels for around the world, and it still tastes the same.
Yeah, and no matter where it's brewed, it tastes the same. You would think there'd be a difference if they're using water in Pennsylvania. Or they're using water in California.
Right.
You would think that the water would impact the taste, and it doesn't.
That's,
it is cookie cutter beer.
So, ladies and gentlemen, even though we are not impressed with this particular beer, we still want you to go out and try it. They do sell the Black Crown all over the place. But
drink it cold.
They drink it cold.
Ice cold.
Most lagers are designed for cold, and these are beers such as your Coors, your everyday beers that we grew up, the ones that were forced on your throat, that all you know was Coors, Miller's, all these, those type of lagers, those are everyday hardworking men's beer, like a Bud Light Platinum and all those things. And those different, they all have different flavor and they have different strengths. But hands down, the main issue that we have with this particular Budweiser, in a sense, is it's not complex enough.
No, we're not trying to come off as beer snobs, and I think craft beer enthusiasts are often labeled that that we're beer snobs. I mean, we'll try anything, but this really isn't up to taste. I suppose you could put it in a funnel.
It's like a great beer pong beer. You know what? There we go. This is a great college beer.
Yeah.
This is also a beer.
Probably too expensive, though.
Fair enough. All right, so here it comes, guys. So it comes down to the dark side of what we do. All right, Frank, what's your score and why?
I'll give them a 2. It's beer, and, you know, they tried to do something different. I guess you got to give them a little bit of credit for that. The taste and their business practices just practices just outweigh.
It's like, okay, we're gonna go get an orphan today, and here we are pulling up to the orphanage, and there's little Timmy, and there's a puppy in the back, and the windows are rolled up, and you tell the kid get in, and and left the poor child there. That's where they left the flavor. Their flavor is the orphan Timmy.
Yeah, most of this belongs on a ping pong table.
Yeah. All right. For me, I'm going to go ahead. I'm actually going to go a little higher. I'm kind of always in a good mood about beer. I'm giving them a 3. It brings nothing to the party. It's for most, it's underrated. For a lot of people, it's overrated. Mm. But it's everywhere. So it's in business for a reason. So I give them that. And the consistency. And you know what? I'm not even going to lie. The labeling is pretty kick-ass. It looks hardcore. You're like, yeah, I'm going to get that black crown. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, gross, it's a fucking tiara. And you just feel a little robbed. But, again, they I like them because I like their assholicness about things. This is not a hobby, but they'll buy craft breweries.
Yeah.
And the consistency over 1 billion years. And it is what it is. If you guys want to check these guys out, definitely look up Budweiser. All right. And if, like, again, if you love Siri because you're an Apple person, ask Siri about Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch or Google Chrome it. There is no website here or anything on this particular bottle. Wait. I take that back. www.budweiser.com. Or if you have questions or comments, please give them a call. And this is toll-free. 1-800-DIAL-BUD. Or it's 1-800-342-5283. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and be back after these commercial. See, they thought I was going to say commercials.
Right.
We only get one commercial. So we'll be right back, folks.
Tired of the same old Budweiser, Coors, Miller? Looking for something new, but you're not sure what to choose? Head over to www.obsbeers.com. We've got hundreds and hundreds of reviews of different beers from around the world, and most of them are not Budweiser.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you guys are still hanging in there with us. All right, Frank, now that we've gotten through the worst in today's show, hands down, ladies and gentlemen, we will no longer speak of that evil. What is the next one that you are leaning towards to do right now?
I think we're going to go with Samuel Adams Noble Pils.
Okay.
It's brewed and bottled by the Boston Beer Company. 4.9 ABV.
Nice. Is there any way to contact them if people really enjoy our review on it?
I'm trying to look. My eyes are kind of failing because I'm getting old. But I think if you look up Sam Adams, Google it, Siri it,
it's all there.
They'll tell you what.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. We can't look. We're handing you wonderful information, but we're not holding your fucking hand. Listen, guys, if it's on the bottle, we'll tell you. If it's not, you're going to have to do some self-indulging for yourself outside of watching porn.
Plus, they're making us work for it. So.
Pretty much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and open it. So what are your feelings towards Samuel Adams?
I enjoy Samuel Adams. I wouldn't race out to buy it.
Right.
But I've had it in the past, and it's been a good beer.
Now, arguably, a lot of people say Samuel Adams isn't even a craft company. But, I mean, granted, they have over, I'd say, well over 30-plus different beers,
yeah.
Seasonal, so they've got something for you every year, for every holiday. I think they even got Arbor Day ones and, breast cancer awareness fucking beer.
Yeah.
Now, the one that's highly impressive and sought after and well worth it, I don't know, have you ever had their Utopias?
I have not.
Oh, we'll have to get one for the holidays because they only sell that one once a year.
Okay.
And here in Las Vegas, the cheapest I've seen it, if you can get it when it's in stock, $175.
Wow.
For a 750 ml bottle. But the bottle's worth it. It's porcelain. It's numbered. It's cereal. I mean, you're paying for a lot more than just the aged liquid that's in there. So, all right, guys, enough about the Utopia. Let's go ahead and get down to this Noble Pils. So here we go. Let's get down to the aesthetics of the look. It looks like pee.
Yeah.
Or I've used this many times, and I think it's the most universal saying as far as visual. Looks like lemon jello.
Yeah. It's definitely a Pilsner. You can see that. The lacing is pretty good on it.
Super filtered. You guys see right through it. Not a lot of activity going on in the bubbles. Doesn't mean anything. There's just nothing for them to grab on, or they're not agitated enough. Other than that, it just looks like a wonderful stand-up Pilsner. Very classic in the color. If we had to tell you the color of it, other than pee and jello, it has a nice, sexy, almost like a dirty blonde.
Mm.
Like a dirty blonde look. Other than that, I really am pleased by the visual. What about you, bud?
Yeah, it's I try to get away from it. Looks like pee, because then I don't want to drink it. Because nobody should drink pee.
Unless you have to.
Boys and girls, nobody should drink pee.
Unless you have to. During the zombie apocalypse.
You filter it, and it doesn't taste like
what is this, Waterworld? Oh, I forgot. They don't even know what that is with Kevin Costner. They don't know Waterworld. We don't have a device that recycles. Mr. Copy, I think you can pee in that.
Probably. But enough about urine. It looks like it's going to be a good beer. Let's keep hope alive.
Let's do it. Cheers to the smell. Definitely no pee here. Definitely no pee here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let Frank take it away.
It's a classic Pilsner. Hoppy, at least in the kind of the forefront of the smell.
Foreskin of the smell?
No, not foreskin.
Oh, sorry, yes. Sorry.
Forefront.
Sorry.
Front.
I have selective hearing. Yeah. My apologies.
Pee, foreskin, just get it out of the gutter. it's got some fruit to it. I'm trying to get what it might be. Light citrus, definitely malty. I'm actually excited to try it.
All right. Well, for me, it's definitely botanical. It has a honeysuckle fragrance to me. I'm getting not only just the cones, I'm getting the whole entire plant itself. Here's another great aspect. He was talking about citrus. I'm getting tangerine. Mm-hmm. A little bit of that sweet forward citrus. Maybe a little bit of lemon peel. I'm also getting I'm actually getting a texture. It actually smells thick. It actually smells like there's pulp in there. It smells like there's a lot more going on, like a little bit of spice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying clove.
And coriander.
There you go. Let's go with coriander. Matter of fact, there's like a smidge of tarragon in there, something little effervescent with it. It's got a lot going on. Just the fragrance alone is impressive as shit. Also, that's what it was. It has this butter smell to it. Yeah, it smells like butter, that oily goodness when you're cooked. It's almost to brown butter.
Brown butter.
But it's not there yet. Yeah. It's like right getting ready to turn. It's starting to caramelize a little bit. Yeah. And right before it hits that brown butter smell, that's what I'm getting. There it is. All right, let's do it, brother. And we're happy for this one. Cheers to the taste. Wow, that's dry.
Very dry. Wow.
It's dry and refreshing. This is like a very confused cross-dresser. Like, you feel good in the dress, but you know it's wrong?
Well, yeah, because maybe people are wearing muumuus, but...
Man, that's really good. Right. And there's the butter. After it's down, it's dry. And as soon as your saliva mixes in with it because of the bitterness and the dryness, it puts this weird, creamy butter taste there.
Wow.
That's... And for me, Samuel Adams has always been a 50-50 shot. There's been some that's like, what are you doing? And then there's some like, keep it up.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one of those, keep it up. I mean, okay, first initial going in, it's plant. I'm actually getting some like twig aspect, not woodsy, but kind of like a moist toothpick.
Yeah.
And then it's super earthy. It's super, super earthy, but it's pills. So it has a little bit of this metallic aspect to the bitterness to it. It also, I like the name, Noble Pills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super classic. Nothing fancy, no frills. It's like they found an old recipe. He blew off the paper and was like, we're going with this one. And it's just something just nostalgic in a sense. It tastes as if this belongs in an old timey place.
Yeah.
And you get it in a big old cup, big old stein, and that's how you get it. This is perfect at the temperature it's at. It's super refreshing, even though it's dry. And then that weird butter texture kicks in. I don't taste any ABV at all. So it's definitely a sleeper.
Yeah.
So which means it's going to creep up on you if you do a six pack of these. I'd say don't drink this cold, or you're not going to experience this. It'll just be, it'll be a bitter beer, but I don't think you're going to get the nuances that we are describing here.
Yeah, it's definitely bitter. It's a lot hoppier than I thought it was going to be. It's almost going IPA-ish, almost. It's got the kind of lean towards that hoppy flavor that most IPAs have, but it's missing the citrus that you get the citrus quality in most IPAs. But like he said, it's a good beer. I think they've done well with this. If Pilsner is your game, I would definitely give this a try, folks.
Absolutely. I mean, You can't go wrong. See, Pilsner, for a lot of people, is an upgrade from lager.
That's true.
Pilsner is an acquired taste. It's definitely, a lot of them, definitely over in Germany and the Czech Republic, they make phenomenal Pilsners. And I think what they're doing here, when they say noble pils, is they're capturing the essence of what a Pilsner is. I think this is, now I've done outstanding Pilsners before, and this is right up there with them. I think this can hang with the big boys. I would think that it would probably get a blue ribbon, but I think it hangs with them, and it's a great gateway into that particular style, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, there are only two types of beer on this planet. That's ales and lagers, and Pilsners is a lager, and it's designed for being cold. But when you have something full of characteristics like this, you need to have it at room temperature. This deserves to just take it out the fridge when you get home. And again, I'd say 30, 40 minutes, or pour it in a glass 30, 40 minutes. And I promise you that everything that we were smelling, you will either relate to or find something different. And then when you taste it, you're either going to relate or find something even more. I'm going to go in for one more taste, and I want to see if this is a Build-A-Beer. If that means, is it more layering, you know, that we've got it settled in there, or is this a steady beer?
They're definitely trying to go more of a European style.
Right.
Like a true Bohemian Pilsner. As opposed to something that you might get domestic in the States.
Right. Nope, for me, this is a steady beer. I'm not getting any more, but I'm not getting anything less. So it's a steady beer, ladies and gentlemen. And a steady beer is, no matter how many times you drink it, whether it's cold or warm, it's going to stay consistent till you drink something else. So this is a steady beer. All right. How do you feel about this beer?
I think it's a great example of a pils. I would give this a 4 out of 5.
Nice. For me, going 4. It's above average, but again, this might also scare a lot of people.
Yeah.
For people that are, matter of fact, this could be confusing for an IPA.
That's what I was saying.
With that bitterness, the hoppiness. And a lot of people, that's what they're usually afraid of. So this doesn't, you know, this is confusing for a lot of people, but if you're a true Pilsner fan, this is for you. If you're looking for a different beer to try, please get with Samuel Adams and their Noble Pils. And I believe I got this in a variety pack.
Oh, nice.
So it might be a seasonal beer, I'm not too sure, or you could probably get this year round. But again, ask Siri or Google it and quit being a bunch of babies and find that shit out yourself.
But not every store has the variety pack.
No.
Are you talking about Build a Six Pack or True Variety Pack?
A True Variety Pack? This was, I believe I picked this up in an actual prepackaged variety pack from Samuel Adams. But a lot of places, like out here, Total Wine and Lee's, actually, let's just go with Total Wine. They basically will crack open everything and start laying them out singly because they know they can push the beer a lot faster.
Sure.
If it's in single bottles. And it's, you know, you guys want to look into that at your local stores that sell diverse beers. And if they don't, you should talk to management about doing build your own six packs. So it actually comes out cheaper. So and then you get to explore more, and that's why we enjoy what we do. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and reset for the next beer. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, right before we start, we want to encourage you to check us out. If you guys are really, really enjoying our shenanigans, our offensory, our subjugation, if you're male or female, your orientation, it doesn't matter, your race, creed, or politics and what you believe in, we honestly don't give a shit because beer is what we have in common. So please, if you have a sense of humor and you're an actual real person who the things that people say don't affect your paycheck, to be honest with you, go ahead and check us out over at obsbeers.com. Also, you can check us out on Untappd, YouTube, Twitter. You can email us. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Periscope. Definitely go over to obsbeers.com and check out the new look of it, the feel of it. It's faster, better, and bigger than ever. We've got a new icon. We want to know how you guys feel about it. Drop us a comment and hit us up at obsbeers.com. Everything's there. And again, obsbeers.com. And I'm shameless plug. All right, Frank.
That was good.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Frank is going to tell you the next beer.
We're having Hoptober Golden Ale by New Belgium. It's brewed by New Belgium Brewing out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Interesting thing about this company is they are employee-owned, which I think is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Employee-owned. Also, the lady It's a lady who owns it.
Yes.
It is a female. So those that think that this is a male-dominated, I would say sport, a male-dominated entity, you would be wrong. There is different races that are doing this. There are different genders doing this. Yeah. It's anyone and everyone, married couples. They're just all over the place, and that's just the beauty of beer and why we love doing it. And I'll be honest with you, she's pretty good looking.
So it's a 6% ABV, and if you'd like to check out some more of what New Belgium has to offer, go to www.newbelgium.com.
Now, if you guys understand the name of the beer that he says, this would be primarily a fall beer. Mm-hmm. And judging by, well, let's talk about the labeling. How do you feel about the labeling? What does it suggest? It looks like Burning Man.
It does. I was thinking Burning Man because there's a bunch of people that are around a bonfire. But if we're kind of going back to more of a fall seasonality to it, I think what these folks are dancing around, this giant bonfire, it's probably like the end of a harvest.
Ah, yes, and they were getting rid of the workers.
Yeah, something like
that. That's horrible, ladies and gentlemen. And again, if you can't enjoy the sense of humor, you might as well have turned it back, because there was a warning label at the beginning of the show. So please, if you want to write us anything like, you guys are messed up, we're going to ignore it at this point. I'm just saying. But no, it's really cool. It's got a bunch of hot cones running around the label. And ladies and gentlemen, if you guys didn't know this, the hop cones that they use in beer is actually the female, not the male. The male is only used for the sex part. All right, guys, I'm going to crack this open. So how do you feel about New Belgium in general overall?
I do like New Belgium. I've had a lot of their Fat Tire. I'm from back east, and I wasn't able to get it back east. So moving west, I've definitely enjoyed quite a few Fat Tire. I've had Ranger before, which is, I believe, it's their version of IPA.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty good. So I'm excited to try something different that I really haven't seen yet.
Absolutely. No, Fat Tire was one of my big things. Also, you know what also? I also like New Belgium's direction, their Lips of Faith series. Mm-hmm. They basically collaborate with other breweries.
Right.
And they've came out with some really, really stupid, sick beers that we'll be getting. We have a couple of their Lips of Faith, but that's later down the line, because we've got to kind of get through these some of these smaller beers before we can get to the big boys, because we don't want to just blow your mind away with the big ones, the higher ABV. We want you guys to get used to ones that you may be familiar with. Samuel Adams, Budweiser, Full Sail, New Belgium, and a couple other ones. You're like, oh, I've heard of them.
Right.
Stone. But then there's some off-the-wall brands that you're like, what? And you guys are not ready with those type of reviews just yet. We got to kind of baby feed you. So here we go. Let's talk about the aesthetics. What you got, Frank?
It's got that kind of honey color, not quite lemon jello, a little darker than that.
Absolutely.
It's got some good lacing going on when I'm kind of swirling around in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
The head has kind of retained pretty well. It's not totally gone, but it's definitely still a presence there.
Absolutely. There's not a lot of activity going on with the bubbles, which doesn't really mean anything. It's definitely super toasted golden. I would say this is like a almost like a gold color, like metallic gold.
Yeah.
That sort of shimmer, hard yellow bronze to it. Other than that, it's a very pretty looking beer. So let's get down to it. Let's smell this bad boy up. Very, very plantish. It's very botanical. It smells sticky. Sticky like pollen.
Yeah.
Sticky pollen. If you guys ever watch like insect documentaries of bees and they're going around pollinating stuff, and they say, oh, it just sticks to the bee. It's sticking to the aromatics to it. I mean, it doesn't even smell like a beer. It smells like a plant.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really getting any kind of malt to it. It's really just, it's hops.
It's straight. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a person who's not into the hoppy beers, this smell could aggressively grab you. But if you're a person who's like, yeah, I like IPAs and I like that bitter game, and you're a true hop head, I mean, it says Hoptober on it. I mean, It just smells like the damn. If anyone's ever smelled hops, it smells just like that. And I mean freshly picked hops, whether it's the hops used for brewing or they have some other species of hops. It's that same pollinated smell, that sticky, like, You ever pulled weeds in your yard, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Like barehanded?
Yeah, not in Vegas, but yes. Yeah.
And it's sticky on your hands and that residue?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. That's where I wanted to go. It smells like plant residue or grass clippings, if you will. It definitely has your suspects. Your typical suspects. It's got some pine to it. Mm-hmm. It smells like dish soap, a cleaner. And I think that's about it. I mean, we can keep going on the smell, but like it's already making my mouth water. Yeah. That's how bitter this damn thing is. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. To the taste. It's much more, the malt is there. The malt basically is balanced with the hops. And I don't taste any yeast on this one. It comes off more orange. I'm getting like an orange cream.
Yeah, definitely creamy.
Orange cream taste. It's very creamy, ladies and gentlemen. It's right below milk consistency. But again, the smell was way more aggressive than the taste. And that can happen, ladies and gentlemen, when you brew or a lot of places. It doesn't matter what the IBUs are, so don't ever get fooled by IBUs. Because when at the end of the day, when they're done putting everything together, if the malt level is right next to the IBUs, it really doesn't matter how many IBUs are in it, how much hops you put in it, or how hoppy you're going to get it. If the sweetness is right next to it, it's just going to be a washed out. Not in a bad way. It's just not going to be as hoppy as you thought it would be. So you got to keep your malt low if you're trying to go for a hoppier beer. And this is balanced.
Yeah.
This is the smell is more aggressive than the taste. And I think everybody can get down with this one.
Yeah, it's got a creamy consistency to it. Smooth is the word that I was thinking. But it's also, it's layered. So the more I drink of it, the sweeter it's getting.
Yeah.
So that
I'm getting more citrus. It's getting more citrusy.
That aggressiveness of the aroma is definitely not present in the taste of it.
No, it's way creamier now, yeah. It's a layered beer, ladies and gentlemen. And I think the warmer it gets, the more deceiving it becomes. Mm. And now I see why they're dancing by the bonfire, because they forgot that it was beer. And it was just basically, because on the label, ladies and gentlemen, they're also hula hooping. I don't think Frank saw that. They're hula hooping. Wow, this is pretty complex.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is... I would say this could be intense for a lot of people. This could probably scare people in the right direction.
I think the aroma might scare them away just because it is an aggressive, hoppy aroma.
Right.
But I think if you allow yourself to get past that and actually start tasting it, it is smooth, it's creamy. I'm shocked because I thought it was going to be a much more assertive, aggressive.
I'm getting the white part now, the pith. Mm. The not the rind of the citrus, but that white membrane that has a little bit of citrus meat on it.
Yeah.
Then you chew on it, it's got that oily, waxy feeling. It's leaving a little wax on my teeth. I mean, this is hands down a really, really good beer, ladies and gentlemen. All right, because we still got to at least finish it. All right, Frank, what you got for him?
I'm going to give this a 4.5.
Wow, that's pretty high.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic effort. And I like that it deceived me. It really did. Because like I said, that assertive, aggressive aroma, I'm thinking, damn, I'm going to get hopped.
And slap you in the face with it.
Yeah. And when I finally tasted it, that wasn't there. I mean, there's definitely a presence of hops, obviously, but it's not overwhelming like an IPA can have overwhelming hoppiness to it,
right.
Which I happen to like. But, yeah, damn, this is definitely a smooth operation.
I'm getting some sort of soap aspect. Maybe that's just the after effect of all the hops, you know what I mean? So for me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go with a 4.3. I'm going slightly below Frank. And the reason why I'm going slightly under is because I think my biggest concern would be the fragrance. A lot of people will smell it first. And in the world of in the world of like bartenders.
Yeah.
If the mixed cocktail they're having smells too boozy, the person 9 times out of 10 be like, whoa, that's too strong. They'll drink it, but then they're not going to have a good time.
Right.
I think if you're a person who's shy of the hop aspect of beer and you don't want that bitterness going down, that could be a huge deterrent. And then that might ruin your experience. But once you taste it, though, this is where the four comes in. It's gonna throw you for a loop because it was extremely deceiving.
Yeah.
Almost confusing. Like, okay, is it two of the same? Is it the same beer? But I mean, overall, it's very well put together. It's I think it's a well deserved beer for that. Everyone should try it at least once.
Yeah.
So I think you guys should get out there and check out New Belgium's Hoptober Golden Ale. So, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead and reset for the next beer. If you guys are enjoying yourself, go ahead and stand up and give yourself a round of applause and tell the person that you're next to you should check out obsbeers.com.
You should check out obsbeers.com.
Okay, I will. All right, boys and girls, and some adults that are listening to us here on obsbeers.com's brand new but 9th episode of the Open Bottle Talk. All right, you guys, Open Bottle Society's brand new, hip, swank. I don't know. It's basic words talking about beer without looking at our faces. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go now to our final beer. And, Frank, what is the beer that we are doing?
We have the ridiculously tasty Original Amber Ale from Full Sail.
All right.
Full Sail Brewing Company, Hood River, Oregon.
Nice.
Or Oregon, it depends. But my wife always says, it didn't go anywhere, so it's Oregon.
There it is.
It's Oregon.
Oregon, because it didn't go anywhere.
Yep.
Also, let's see here. What's the ABV on this?
ABV is, I just had it. It's 6.
All right, 6%. Now, here's a cool little fun fact while I open this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys know, it says right there, see?
Yep.
47, it says employee owners. So, ladies and gentlemen, Full Sail, if you look at it, there's this little thing at the top of their labeling, and it has a number 47 wrapped around sale. And what that is, the original 47 people that are the investors, whether they were the employees or family owned, there was this 47 people total that got Full Sail off the ground. So how do you feel about Full Sail?
I've never had it before, honestly.
They've been around for a long, long, long time. And surprisingly, you're not the only person who hasn't had Full Sail. And Full Sail's been around just as long as a lot of other brews that we've seen and know. And another cool part is that they don't really try to compete with the craft beer game. They just improve upon their basic styles. Mm-hmm. Now, one of their phenomenal ones they put together was their ESB. That's Extra Special Bitter Job, but we'll get into that another time. But that was a really good one. And I mean, they always, Full Sail always stays nostalgic with everything they do. And how do you feel about the labeling and the whole nine?
The labeling is pretty cool. Around the neck, they've got a picture of some sailboats. And then the actual label itself, it's pretty plain. Colors are good, kind of pops. And it's Full Sail for sure.
Speaking of popping, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a shameless plug, which doesn't exist, but they do. So please don't look them up, or you, if you want to, by all means do it. Today's show has been brought to you by the ever-impressive Strippers for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, because if God didn't want them to twerk, would he have given them that body? Actually, true story, that's actually a for real thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so what they do is they strip.
Right.
And collect the money and give it to the church.
Give it to the church.
Well, yeah, but they're not really our sponsor, guys, so please don't look them up.
Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we're going to get down to the aesthetics. Looks like an amber. It's red, rustic, almost a brunette.
Yeah.
It's got a brunette color, ladies and gentlemen. Almost looks like watered down coffee.
Yeah.
What you got on it? Your turn.
Caramel. Head is good.
Head is always good. We'll continue.
Yeah, that's true. Don't see a whole lot of carbonation through it, and that just could be because it's a little on the murky side.
It's filtered.
But the lacing is great.
Yeah, good lacing. Okay, so you know someone's going to go, What's lathing, Frank? I'm sure they're going to ask just like that.
So lacing is the amount of foam or the amount of the head that remains on your glass as you are drinking it and reducing the amount of liquid that is in there. The way we kind of produce it when we are looking at it, trying to check out the color and see if we can get any kind of hints from that, is we just kind of twirl our glass a little bit. And if you move it side to side, it leaves what appears to be lace on the glass.
Fair enough. All right, guys, so that's what we got on the aesthetics. So it just looks classic. It looks like an old-style beer. It's super filtered because I can literally see right through it, even though it is dark. But I can see my hands pass right through it. Let's get down to the smell, my good sir.
All right.
Here we go. It just smells like a beer.
Yeah.
It smells like a... It just smells like an actual amber beer. It's metallic, yeasty, a little bit of malt.
I'm getting a little fruit.
You're on your own on that one, bud. But
a little bit.
It's very faint. If it's there, maybe I'm not picking up on it because all I'm still getting is that yeast.
Yeah.
I'm definitely getting a little bit of the malt. So maybe I'm getting way more yeast to it.
Okay.
And that's where that metallic aspect's coming in. And that's how I swear to you guys, that's how I associate an amber. I think amber. The color looks like rust, and I'm always associating with like a copper smell or a metallic smell. And also at the same time, with those types of smell, the same thing with the taste.
Yeah.
I always get some sort of metallic aspect out of it, and that's how I go, oh, that's an amber. And that's just for me. That's just how I always can remember what those are. All right, so are you ready to dive in, my good sir?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Cheers, brother. It's nutty, though. It's got a nutty, malty profile. It's almost like... They were trying to toast toffee flavor to it.
Yeah.
It's almost toasted toffee. Again, it's metallic. And I can definitely tell you it's more of a copper aspect of it. Like if you sucked on a penny. It's super refreshing, ladies and gentlemen. It's got water consistency. So we're going to always try to tell you what type of consistency it is. So you guys can get your imagination going. It's watery. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just you've got water, you've got coffee, you've got milk, you've got cream texture. Mm-hmm. There's many different ways that we can tell you the texture of the mouthfeel. And it's just watery. It's refreshing. But there's not much to it. It's very simple in itself. And that's the best part. Even though this is a simple beer for me, it's really good.
Yeah. I'm getting some a little hint of coffee, a little hint of caramel, and a definitely a bitter finish, which I expect with an amber. Slightly hoppy.
That was what I was saying.
Just to be dangerous.
Just a tip.
Yeah, just they a tip. Because it feels good.
Yeah, just a tip. That's what you said on the first day. Just a tip.
And I did.
Yeah, and it's just really, really good, guys. It's like I always tell people this all the time. They're like, sometimes, you know, when it's not that complex, it's a good thing. Because then you have to, then you go back to why you fell in love with craft beer. Trust me, there are some beers that are just like, why? Why are we drinking it? It's not complex. And you give it no respect. Because it's just meh. But when you come across a really simple beer, you give it its respects because it didn't shy away from who they are.
Yep.
And these guys are good to go, to be honest. I really, really like the way this particular beer, just the mouthfeel, from the start to finish. Overall, it's a very simplistic beer.
Yeah, I think it's the label and the taste go together hand in hand. It's a no-nonsense label. It's a no-nonsense taste. It's straightforward amber. It's good. I'm glad I got to try it. It is actually really good.
Absolutely. I'm glad you tried it with me. I've been hanging on to this beer since yesterday.
Oh, good.
So this is absolutely fresh. All right. So go ahead. How do you feel about it?
I'm going to give it a 4.4. There's no nonsense. It's not a regular guy's beer by any means, I don't think. But like he was saying, it's not a complex beer. So I think it is accessible to anybody who wants to try it, especially if you like amber. If you like amber ales, it's good. It probably is ridiculously tasty.
It is. The best part is not only is it refreshing, you can't stop drinking it. Like, even though we're talking, I just want to keep diving into it. For me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to 4.5. And the reason being is, I firmly believe that this beer is a great gateway into other styles. So if you're a lager fan who's trying to get off of the mainstream kick and you come across Full Sail, I think that's going to – it has just enough characteristics and complexity that you're like, what else is out there? Okay, this is easing me in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely easing me in to try more. It's a very coaching beer. Am I saying it right? It pushes you a little bit. Starts with a C. What's the word? Coaxes. Coaxing?
We'll go with coaxing.
Let's go with coaxing. Or coke muling. It's a great way to get you coke muling into the next beer. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm also an adult, so I can say whatever I want on this show. If you guys didn't listen to the warning label at the beginning, you are too far in. There's no way to turn back. No, it's a great beer. It's a great gateway beer into, again, more complex beers. And it's also helps you build your palate.
Yeah.
It, like I said, it's simple, but it's different. And I think that's great about it. So I'm very pleased with that. Are you anything else that you'd like to say about this particular beer?
No, I think you hit it right on the head. It is it's a simple, straightforward amber ale, caramel, toasty. It's damn good.
Absolutely. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and we'll be right back. We're going to reset for our closing statements of the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now at the end of the show, and this is where I'm going to pick. I pick anyone who's been here on the show's brains at the end of the show because I like to know. I'm inquisitive. I'm nosy. So this is how this is going to work. Frank.
Yes, sir.
Out of all these beers, excluding the Budweiser, which one was your favorite and why out of the variety of today's show?
I'm going to pick two. I know you want one, but I'm going to pick two.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
I really like the Hoptober, and I had said this off the air. It was deceiving, but not like I got lied to, but it was deceiving in the fact that I got aggressive hops when I was getting the aroma, and then the taste was just creamy and smooth and really, really good. Also, the Full Sail Amber. I do like ambers. And this was my first Full Sail beer, and I think they're doing a phenomenal job. I hope they keep it up, because it was really, really good. So those two I would pick as my tops today.
All right. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, excluding the Budweiser, because we are pretty scorned, which was your least?
Well, I'd have to go with the cider, just because I still don't have that taste for cider yet. It was much better than the last cider that you and I reviewed together. But still, I'm not ready to jump on the cider bandwagon.
For me, ladies and gentlemen, to be honest, beside the Budweiser, and the only reason why we're not talking about the Budweiser is because we're a little scorned by their practices. So we kind of don't want you guys going, oh, you're just being mean to them because you don't like them. So we're leaving that particular bottle out of the way. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. All the items on today's show is a 12-ounce bottle. These are all 12-ounce bottles. And the reason why we want to tell you the sizes about the bottles is because that way you kind of have an idea of what you're looking for. We don't want you thinking it's in a bomber, which is 22 ounces, and a growler. Can you only get a draft? We will let you guys know on the aesthetics fully and completely. So my favorite one. This was tough.
Yeah.
This is tough. So if I had to go with my favorite, I'm going with the Hoptober.
Ah.
Because it's deceivingly to the smell. It's deceiving because of how it is. It's kind of like, I'll tell you how deceiving it is. All right. The smell was super aggressive, so like I was being snatched inside of an ice cream truck by this dude called Uncle Bad Touch, and then all of a sudden you taste it, and he actually gives you ice cream, and you're able to leave. There was like no giving up anything to get the ice cream. Yeah. You know, he's just a little aggressive at first, and then, oh, here, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to grab you like that.
Right.
Here's some big sticks, a choco taco, a couple of things like that. And my least favorite. I'm going to have to go with the amber.
Really?
And the reason being is...
Shut the fuck up.
No. I'm going to explain. Hold on. I'm going to explain why it was the least out of this batch. Because for one... Okay, so we both agree the Hoptober was basically the shit. The Noble Pils, it had characteristics and different layers and how it was laid out.
Okay.
And to be honest, the pear cider, the perry, was overall really, really delicious. I mean, because to be honest, you did go a couple of more sips off the air, and you were having a little more than you normally would with cider. So that was impressive for me to see you do that.
Well, I wanted to give it truly an honest
chance. But you truly did several times over.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the amber, the reason why it just falls short for me is because it's just very simple. Now, it's not a bad beer. None of these were bad except for the Budweiser. But then again, Budweiser, it's not a bad beer, ladies and gentlemen. Budweiser is not a bad beer. It's just basic. Just super basic. It's just it's the basic bitch of all beers.
Yeah.
So, but none of them were horrible, but comparing them stack-wise, the amber is the one that falls short for me because of its simplicity versus the other three that had layers and layers of impressive flavor.
Right.
And so, you know, that was the only reason why. Don't get me wrong. I would hands down drink these all over again. And I really wish we didn't just have except for the Budweiser. That I would love to do these over again, to be honest. And maybe down the line, we probably might be able to purchase them. If we see them, at least now we're aware that if we see Hoptober, we're grabbing it.
Yeah.
And now that you're impressed with Full Sail, you might pick up a different ones with Full Sail. And then, of course, the other Samuel Adams is decent. And the Aces, at least we tried it. And if we were somewhere and it was a cider festival, at least I know if you were like, at least there's one now that you're comfortable at least sipping, because that's the only one that you're going to be comfortable with at the moment.
They have cider festivals?
Let's hope that they do.
I'd probably stay home for that.
You can't now if we're always
going to... I'm not on the wagon, man.
But
you may be driving the bandwagon.
That's fine. You just hang in there.
All right.
And I'll be like, hey, try this. Hey, how else are you going to fill up your Untappd?
That's true.
All right, guys. So we're going to go ahead and leave you guys out with this. Hey, make sure you guys check us out at obsbeers.com. If you want to get a hold of us, go to obsbeers.com. You want to follow us on all of our social media, obsbeers.com. All right, so beer is what we have in common.
What's your beer story?
All right, we'll check you guys next week.
Have a good one.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.